Welcome to the Holistic Life Podcast, where the wisdom of the Word of God lights our path to mind, body, soul, and spirit wellness. Each episode, we delve into living a life that's not just healthy, but wholly aligned with spiritual principles, exploring the intersection of faith and well-being. Join us as we uncover divine guidance for wellness, meditation, and harmony in life, taking this journey on living fully in His grace. Your transformation, grounded in faith and understanding, starts now.
Good day, good day, good day. I want to welcome you to another episode of the Holistic Life Podcast. I am your host, Shelby Frederick, also known as Lady Jules, and we are broadcasting live from Columbus, Ohio. It is a delight to continue with our segment, our special podcast series that we are doing for Women's History Month. And we are talking about women in transition. And if you have been following along with us with our first two episodes, we started off the month talking about embracing the in-between moments. And I was able to share a little bit of my personal story, my testimony, and to let you know how we got here to talking about the imposter syndrome. And so that was an insightful time that we had. And then we were here last week where we were sharing about silencing the imposter. And I gave you some tips and some strategies and some things to look for just in case you are struggling with the imposter syndrome and how you can begin to walk out of that and walk into truly who God has called you to be. But today, I am super excited to have a dear sister friend of mine, one who I've met a little over a year ago. We are in the same great state of Ohio, and I thought that she would be a perfect candidate for me to interview, and especially around the imposter syndrome, as we are going to be talking about and sharing, and you'll have a greater understanding why I say that. But I'm telling you, I'm super excited to have here our special guest on today. Her name is Olivia Arnold. She is a brand consultant, a creative catalyst. She's a celebrated author and the visionary behind Emerge Consulting Firm and a bolder woman. And her remarkable journey that she's going to be sharing from the corporate world into entrepreneurship, it really marries her passion for ministry with her expertise, along with her marketing management, project management, and also web development. Olivia's mission is to empower faith-driven women to shatter the ceilings of limitations and to step boldly into their callings. And so through her innovative coaching and brand strategies, she infuses biblical principles and creative solutions, guiding women to conquer self and embrace their divine identities. Her dedication to fostering authenticity and purpose has made her a beacon of inspiration with her insights, her featured various prestigious publications she has been in. And so today we are going to explore Olivia's unique approach to overcoming imposter syndrome. She's going to talk about a little bit of the spiritual, the emotional, and the physical wellness pieces. And we're going to learn how to align our true identity with God's vision as we are accomplishing, we're doing great things, we are maintaining this balanced, holistic lifestyle. And so I am getting ready to bring her up to the stage right now. And just want to say welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is so great to have you here. Can you just tell us, just jump right in and begin just to tell us a little bit about who Olivia is, and just where, at what point did you share or you realize that your calling was beyond the corporate world and just beginning to empower women into your own enterprises and all of the things that you are doing?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. And I love this series that you're doing, obviously. but yeah, just a little bit about me. First of all, is my Wi-Fi okay? Let's check the Wi-Fi. Is it okay?
Okay, well, let's look and see.
Just make sure.
Did we get a signal on?
No, I just wanted to make sure. I think I was swirling around. So if you can hear me, let's go.
Yes, I can hear you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So a little bit about me. Number one, I'm a daughter. I am a daughter of the living God. I'm excited and thankful to be a daughter. I am thankful for transformation. Yes. I am thankful for reconciliation. If you knew what I've been through, you would understand that I am just a poster child for gratefulness. I have been doing web development and design work and ministry, this type of stuff, for about a decade now. Well, I'm more newer to ministry for about maybe 5 or 6 years, but I've been doing design work and all those things for 10 years or so, a decade. And it's been a journey. Okay. It's been a progressional journey. But I am one who I'm very passionate about women. I'm passionate about people. I'm passionate about serving, as well as giving. And if it is my last breadcrumb, you're getting it. Okay. So that's a little bit about who I am. So when I was in corporate America, I knew that there was a calling outside of that, because I used to sit at my desk. I used to be the front row, okay, right in front of all the managers, and I would cry. I would cry. And I had just probably prior to maybe before I got laid off in 2017. Prior to that, probably about 2015, I had started hearing God heavily. Okay. I had gave my life back over to Christ in 2012. Well, kind of, I left an alternative lifestyle in 2012 and came back over because of that in 2013. And I started hearing him so heavily in 2015. He kept saying, there's more for you. And I'm like, well, what is that? Right. And so he's like, you're going to get laid off. And I'm like, okay, well, let's go, you know? in the middle of that time period, prior before I actually got laid off, I had started writing books on shifting your paradigm. And I started doing a blog called Single Life, Future Wife. And I was really doing it based off of my own experiences. And I remember I had this thing called get off the couch syndrome. And it was when I would see women sitting on the couch and they would just be looking at other women just up and moving and being bold. And that was me, right? Mm-hmm. And so I would be thinking about that as I was sitting at that desk. And I was like, this isn't me. And God has allowed me to transition from so many places. You know, he's taken me from glory to glory so many times. Like, I know what it feels like to be that woman sitting on the couch. And so I knew that that was a very big piece of who I am and what I do. And then I got laid off. And then here we are.
I tell you, those destiny steps that God puts us on, you know, it can really be something. You know, I have a similar journey, you know, of being working in corporate, working in HR, and thinking that, okay, like, this is going to be it. And then it's like, your position is being eliminated. And it's like, wait, what? Yeah. You know, are you kidding me? But it literally led me onto the path of health and wellness that I'm on. So I so resonate, you know, with your story and your journey. And so it's powerful when we can be able to reach back and we can share how we made it out, because there's so many women that, again, like you say, sitting on the couch, get up off the couch, sis. It's time to go.
There is work to do.
Yes. So when you talk about integrating, how do you integrate your biblical principles into your creative strategies? And what is that? Why is that blend important for you, both personally and also professionally?
Yeah. So for me, the first business name I ever had was called Creative in His Image, right? Because I've always thought that if I wasn't just created in His image, I was creative in His image, because He's given me the power to create as He creates. And so for me, it was always, I'm always ensuring and intertwining that whatever I'm creating, whatever I'm doing is intertwined with what the Holy Spirit is leading me to do, because there are days that I don't have it. Okay. And if I'm not tapping into that power, then it might not get done, if I can just be truthfully honest. And for me, creatively, one of the principles that I always stand on, it was funny, I ministered a word years ago. The first word I ever ministered was from the parable of the talents. And that has always been foundationally what I've stood on as regard my principles, because when I create, sometimes you create from what feels like the small thing, and allow that thing to begin to harvest, you know, and multiply in multiple ways. And so I always have this philosophy of not looking at what just looks small or what looks like God can't do something with, or you can't do anything with. And I feel like, professionally and personally in my own life, that has gotten me, that has taken me from one place to another, because professionally I've not only mentored and taught from that place and helped women see what's on the inside of them from that place. Because sometimes you're dealing with this place of comparison where you're looking at all these amazing things that other women have done, or men or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, you're looking at them from their chapter 32 and you on chapter 2. So let's take what you have right here and begin to, you know, the Bible says to not despise small beginnings. So let's not despise that. Let's take what you have right here. And the old Liv would say, let's flip it. Okay. You know, and so I've always had that. And then as far as my personal life, you know, sometimes I'm in these seasons, you can go through seasons where it looks like there's no movement. And so I'm like, well, God, what do you want to do with this? What do you want to do with here? And so I have to go into the depths of that place to say, okay, this is a small cloud, but I see it. And I'm going to ride on that. And I'm going to move on that, because I know that you're doing something here. And so I've had to go through that one principle, that one thing in the Bible, that one Matthew 25 passage, to really help myself begin to just move forward, as well as moving my clients forward too.
Oh, that's awesome. And so very important to be able to recognize and to understand, you know, the biblical principles, and that it's not that now and all of that, you know, but really making it practical. So that it's applicable, but it's very practical principles. The principles of God work no matter what.
They do.
No matter what. And so that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Now let's go a little bit deeper into our topic of imposter syndrome. This is a term that a lot of people are familiar with, but they struggle to overcome it. And so tell us about your ebook and what were some of the key, or what are some of the key strategies that you propose to combat it?
Yeah. So this is really dual, because, you know, with me, I always say that you eradicate imposter syndrome on multiple levels. And so you don't ever truly overcome, because you get to the bottom of another level. Now you're trying to overcome all over again. But I give what I call a overall sum of overcoming. And then there are also some little small tidbits, because there are different traits that are connected to imposter syndrome. And so the overall sum, I would say, would be I like to say trudge through the mud, right? Because it gets very murky, and you know, you just have to keep going through. But that really does come into the cumbersome of you understanding your identity and knowing that you can do all things. And also, I have a favorite scripture that I wrap with that, which is out of, I believe it's Luke 17:41, and it says, as they went, they were healed. And sometimes your healing is in your going, you know. And so you have to get up and begin to move. And then when you begin to see the capacity and the ground that you've been able to cover, as you were going, you recognize that, man, I wasn't a doc. I didn't have to doubt. Okay. I don't have to feel anything, you know? But then when you think about some of the more intricate traits or details, that are characteristics of imposter syndrome, like fear of exposure, which is really fraud, you know, I always want to think about the root of a thing, because I mean, and I'm not a psychologist, but, I think about the root, and like with the fear of exposure, most people that probably deal with feeling like a fraud had environments that were highly critical. They were in environments that were highly criticized in. And so they feel like, man, if someone finds me out, they're going to be very critical of me. And for overcoming that, I would say you have to begin to be aware of your insecurities and be okay that everybody has insecurities. And once in the book, I'll say the Bible, I'm sorry. In the book, I talk about being able to amass the enemy, because when you can begin to identify the enemy, you understand how to target, you understand how, what weapon needs to be, you know, used in order to take him out. And so when you can begin to uncover that this is what I deal with, but I'm aware of my insecurities and it's okay, then now you can understand how to begin to beat it and move forward from there.
That's so very good. And something just came to mind, and you have to excuse me because sometimes this happens whenever I'm doing interviews. Sometimes I'd be like, I never thought about that. But what, when you think about, because we know that oftentimes that, you know, as adults, when we struggle with imposter syndrome, when we think about it really entered in at a younger age, usually in the environment that we grew up in. And so what are some things that we could share even with like parents who, or even the child or the teen who may be growing up in that environment, and how can we create a stop right there before it blooms into this bigger syndrome that we're facing and having to overcome as adult women?
Yeah, I believe that openness, being open, and learning to communicate is going to be one of the biggest ways to tackle it, because a lot of times you are in environments that are highly critical, and you know where, and especially where one parent might not even be following what the other parent, you know, is saying. I just seen this particularly thing happen the other day, where one parent was going off on the child because the baby was, you know, it was a baby and he was painting his nails, and the mother was like, "He's just a baby," and the dad was so upset. You know, be willing to have those challenging conversations. Be willing to be open. And as a teenager, because most children may not be able to communicate that well, but as a teenager, you know, I would offer up the same thing. Be willing to have the challenging conversation, but before it becomes an anxiety. Because a lot of times, what I'll say is one of the traits of imposter syndrome is also the people, it's anxiety. Most people would say fear, 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 fear. But I don't believe that fear is fear. I believe that fear is I'm sitting in front of a lion and that lion is scaring me and now I'm fearful. I believe what we, most of us deal with, what we call fear, is actually anxiety. And so before that anxiety becomes something that really, you know, overwhelms you and overcomes you, become open about it. You have to learn to communicate. Because that is that the level of communication will follow you for the rest of your life.
So very true. I always, you know, just because I work with a lot of women, you know, who are, you know, having to overcome a lot of things that they went through, you know, that stem back from childhood, you know, and one of the things that God always showed me, and this is probably why I kind of look at things from a different vantage point. He showed me years ago that if you can't get them when they're younger, and he kind of almost broke it down like as, you know, as we matriculate through school, can't get them when they're in elementary school, then how can you get them when they're in middle school and junior high? How can you get them when they are in high school? How can you get them when they're in college? Yeah. You know, and always having that mindset.
Yeah, I feel, and you know what, just to add on to that, even if I think about my own childhood, I was just thinking about this morning, as a matter of fact, I think that learning, like having programs and being one to go out to actually, you know, seek after children or young adults to do confidence teaching is so imperative, because a lot of it stems from confidence, you know, and you not knowing who you are. And so I feel like, you know, teaching about identity and teaching about, you know, what's being said about you is so important to help you ground, you know, ground yourself in that as you're growing.
Yes. So very true. So I just kind of wanted to kind of put that out there. And it looks like the Lord is possibly speaking to you to expand on, you know, what you are already doing. And so that's great. Can you discuss a personal experience with imposter syndrome and how you navigated through it, especially in leveraging your faith and your professional skills?
Yeah, absolutely. It's so funny. I was thinking about these questions today and I thought about a challenging moment. I was thinking about something that happened years ago and then something that happened more recently. But years ago, when I had first, we were talking about me, I was doing those books on shifting your paradigm. I just didn't know the language, you know, I know what it is now, but then I was shifting your paradigm. And I was, you know, doing all these things. And I was doing events and stuff for women and singles and stuff. And I remember coming to my mom because I had hit such a rough part of my life when I had gotten laid off. I thought I was about to go get a job with all these degrees. And the Lord was like, no, right? I had lost what, in that time, I lost what I thought was everything. I had lost my apartment and I had to move with my parents. And it was a rough place. I told my mom, I said, I don't feel like I can speak to these people anymore because I feel like I'm going through what they're going through. And I'm only just a few steps ahead, which is so funny. And and my mom was like, and no judgment on my mom, but, and I think she meant something different, but she said, well, maybe you should stop. And what I think what she really meant was you should just learn it. Just take care of yourself right now. That's what I really feel like.
Yes. Take
care. She was like, stop. But in my mind, I was like, yeah, cause I'm gonna feel like a fraud, you know, if I do that. So that was my first experience. I'm sure I had many more, but my first experience where I can really remember. And then I had we talked about maybe 2 or 3 years ago when I was asked to collaborate on a book called Prophetic Ethics. And, I knew what God had said about me. I had already been releasing prophetic words and I had been already doing study, had already been in tons of prophetic schools, just learning, you know, hadn't ever really had like, truly undergird me in that dimension. But I told her yes initially. And then I sat down with it and I was like, yeah, no, I'm not writing this. I'm not. So she came back to me and she said, hey, did you write? I said, yeah, no, you know what? Go find somebody else to do it. And she said, no, you're going to write it. And as a matter of fact, you're going to write about imposter syndrome in the prophetic. And I was like, so that really started this whole thing. Right. Because I was like, okay. So I started studying it and I was like, clutching my pearls. Cause I know this. I identify with this. And so I started writing and started identifying who in the Bible was dealing with it. And I mean, you know, I had notes on top of notes. And the way I write a lot of times that I pick up my phone and I start speaking notes, you know, voice notes in my phone. And I write. And I had so much stuff on it. And so I wrote what I needed for her, but I had still an overflow. And so last year when I started writing on this subject, I literally just took the notes I already had. It wasn't stuff that I had to go find. It was already what I had. But that was a moment I just did not feel. I'm like, Lord, I don't have the title, God. I know I don't need the validation. I know what you said, but there's been people that's been doing this for years, God. Well, how could I ever write a book about this? And, you know, it was literally, despite the evidence of me releasing words and being a dreamer and all these things, despite me already having the evidence, I still felt like I wasn't capable or adequate enough to write that book. And so that was like one of the biggest moments in my life when I identified right there, you're dealing with me.
Wow. That is so, it's very humbling, you know, and especially when we try to run away, you know, from, and God's like, no, this is the time, you know, and this is how I am using you and moving you into and moving you through and into your next. And so thank you for sharing that. Now you do a lot of coaching events and classes and things like that. How do you advise women to maintain balance between their spiritual, emotional, and physical wellness, especially when they are in challenging times?
I had to, when I was looking at that particular thing, I was just thinking about it because I had no balance. Okay. You know, one of the things I dealt with last year was burnout. It was bad. And I felt it in my body. I felt it everywhere. And also not only did I deal with burnout, I dealt with, feeling like my life was kind of moving from up under me. Right. And so when I was finding these pillars for this ministry that God was giving me called A Bolder Woman, he said more life, more purpose. Right. And so, one of the things that I would, I would advise or give to women to stay balanced in their emotional, their spiritual, and their physical is to not lose yourself, not lose that intricate part of who God has created you to be. Because sometimes, you know, we are moving and grooving, especially when you think about ministry, and we think that God says, no, I don't want any of you left at all. When yes, he wants to die to ourselves, but there are very intricate pieces of our identity that he has created us to be. He says, no, I need that, because that is what's going to be to somebody else, right? And I don't need you to lose that aspect. Like, thinking about me loving fashion, I thought when I came over to this side that I had to release that. And God was like, no, get back to that. I need that part of it, because there are women. As a matter of fact, I have a fashion consulting tonight with someone who was like, hey, I need your assistance. And I was like, okay. Like, and I've been doing that, you know, here and there, but that is helping me boost their confidence. It's helping me show their identity. You know, and I thought that I thought that didn't fit on this side until I started understanding about the different mountains and all those types of things. However, God wants us to keep our intricate identity. He wants us at the end of the day, he wants us to be. Wants us to be. He doesn't want us to try to feel the shoes of anybody else. And so if you work out on that side, keep working out, because that working out is going to keep you up. You know, it's going to keep your cortisol. It's going to keep your hormones together. It's going to keep you mentally stable. You know, when you're hitting those challenging seasons, if you're dealing with emotional issues, you know, you're going to have to learn how to not allow your feelings to overcome your faith. Right. Yes, remember, and also ensuring that you get into the place where you recognize if God said it, that's what he said, you know? And so, may not see it in a moment, but you have to continue to hold and grip onto that and allow and don't allow yourself to be overworked trying to work yourself out of a season or work yourself up out of a challenge. Let the process happen, you know, let whatever happens, whatever is needing to happen in that moment happen, but just find yourself in it and breathe with that. I like to say the ebb and flows of the spirit, because you'll find yourself striving, and you'll find yourself overworked, you'll find yourself sick, and then you look in the mirror one day, you'll be like, I don't even know who I am anymore. Who am
my
I?
My God.
You know, and so I think that's my biggest, that'll probably be my biggest advice, and I take that from my own personal experience.
You said something about don't work yourself out of a season or out of your season.
Yeah.
That right there, I believe, in and of itself is a whole other topic that we need to address, because one thing that the Lord taught me years ago, you know, because, you know, with self-care and we talk about, you know, having work-life balance and things of that nature. And the Lord told me years ago, he said, there is no such thing as work-life balance apart from Holy Spirit. And so I keep that to the forefront of my mind. And I always share that, because oftentimes people ask, well, how do you do it all? You know, you have so much, you know, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing that. I said, I learned how to follow the leading of Holy Spirit. When he tell me go sit down and take a nap, guess what? I sit down and I go take a nap, because naps are anointed, number one.
They are anointed. I napped all Saturday. It was an anointed one too, for sure.
Yes, you know, so it's like, listen, but yeah, we don't want to, and this is what happens when we don't have that understanding that God uses all of us. And so to try to not understand when we make those shifts in those transitions, you know, from, say, like corporate, you know, into now you're a full-time entrepreneur, and to feel like you have to give up on fashion because it may not fit over here. No, God uses everything. Everything. And when we try to, when we don't have that understanding, that's where we get into working ourselves out of the season that we are in, because he's trying to teach us a new way. No, I'm showing you a new way.
Yes.
That I want you to use this.
Yes. Yes.
So that is powerful. I absolutely love. I love that. I love that. In your journey, what significant barriers have you faced, and how have these challenges shaped in how you are now helping other women?
Yeah. Ooh, so in my journey, I dealt with, and I'll probably tag team this with imposter syndrome again a little bit, and identity, because identity Sure. is my identity is my baby, okay? Mm-hmm. But I lived with most people, some people know this and some people, I've shared it publicly, but I was in a homosexual lifestyle for 20 years. Wow. And a lot of my identity was perverted. And so for me, one thing that I think about is the challenge of coming from that lifestyle over to a place where I was so on fire with God, but still not knowing mm-hmm. who I was and what I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And then also in moments feeling like a fraud because I still dealt with shame. I still mm-hmm. dealt with not truly forgiving myself from living that life, you know, for so mm-hmm. long. Even when I felt the nudging, when I felt the nudging, I had no choice because I feel like he pulled me up out the mud. I always say that. But dealing with the shame of all of that. And so that was a huge challenge and a hurdle from coming. It was an extreme shift, like literally, mm-hmm. like I was over here one day and the next moment I'm over here and people are like, wait, she quoting Bible scriptures? What is she doing? What is she talking about? You know, mm-hmm. I look completely different. They don't recognize me. I've literally shifted into somebody completely new, you know, mm-hmm. and they're like, you know, I don't know. And I don't know because I've known a lifestyle. I've known a particular way of being for so long, you know, and all mm-hmm. the other extremities that come along with that. All right. Because there's a lot of things that you have to get out of in the midst of that, because you don't know what's possible. You don't know, you know, these certain, I mean, some people do. But when it's such a demonic tactic and agenda over your life, you're stuck. Okay. And so coming mm-hmm. over there, here, that was a challenge. And for the people, the women that I serve and I help, I always minister, mentor, teach from the depth of that place, because I mm-hmm. know what it's like to deal with the shame. I know what it's like to come over to the other side and hearing the Lord and saying, what am I going to do with this? And what do people want me to do? Or who going to say no? Or no, you shouldn't be doing that yet. It took me 30 years to get this oil. Like, what are they saying?
You know? Listen.
And so I, you know, I really take the challenges of my life. And I always tell anybody, I'm like, you know what, if the challenges of my life were literally meant to be a seed for you to help you over, if what was a wall to me became a bridge for you, then it was all worth it. Right. It came completely worth it. Because I've seen how God has used my story over, and he hasn't even used it for real, but it's just the pieces that he's used for other women to bless them to, so that I'm not like necessarily trying to stay relevant, but I have a story to tell. I have a testimony that they can say, oh, this girl ain't perfect. She ain't no just regular. She ain't no Bible thumper. Like, she's been on the other side amongst mm-hmm. all the other things I've been through. She knows what this struggle is like, and she knows what it's like to finally say, okay, I'm coming into identity. I'm coming into alignment with who I am, and I'm going to walk in there, and then understanding the places where I'm stopped because I'm still dealing with the struggles of who I used to be. And so I'm literally mm-hmm. taking those challenges and walking. I think this was all your question. I hope I'm answering
it. Yes, you are.
I take those things that I've been through, and I teach from the depth of that, because I feel like without that relevance and that level of authenticity, I can't really help. Like, and I think a lot of people we've operated from this place. There's two masks. There's the mask of imposter syndrome, and there's a mask of a facade where we try to live a certain way. And that doesn't help anybody, because people mm-hmm. need to know that it's possible. People need to see that I was over here and I got over here. And if God is no respecter of person, then so can you. And so, yeah, mm-hmm. I think that those are the challenges, some of the challenges that I've been through and how I've used them to help others.
Mm-hmm. That's phenomenal. Did you grow up in the church?
No, funny and quick story. I wasn't grow. I always knew about God. We didn't grow up in a household that talked about God. I mean, maybe we hear something about God every now and again, but I remember being a child and I used to, I was so hungry and thirsty to go to Bible study. And I found mm-hmm. a lady at 7 who would teach me Bible study. And I say, Mom, I found somebody to teach me Bible study. Okay, that's good. And we lived in like a really like predominantly like, you know, like nice area. And so mm-hmm. she didn't care. I went over there and I remember saying, I used to walk with angels and seeing demons. And so I wasn't introduced to the church until I used to go with my friend here and there, but until we were 13. when I was 13, we started going. And then I left the church at 18 because I ended up going to college. I was 20. I ended up going to school and was living fully in the lifestyle that I was living. And I wasn't showing my face up there anymore. And I didn't go back to church until I was 32.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. You know, I always like to ask, you know, because sometimes, especially if you grew up in the church, then, you know, there's that shame piece is so important for us to really overcome.
Yeah.
And if you're a PK like myself, then it really becomes a struggle because you feel like you are wearing this, not necessarily wearing a mask, but you feel like that you have to live up to, you know, who mama and daddy and all of the other church folks are, you know. And so shame is a big issue and things that I see. And I know that people who may have grown up in the church, that's one of the things that we often struggle with. And it really becomes a hindrance if we don't overcome and become delivered by that, because people, like you said, people need to know our story. They need to see that we are authentic. They need to know that, yes, I can relate. I have not always been perfect, you know? Yeah. And so that becomes very important part of the process of even us coming out and being who, you know, stepping into our identity in its fullness, how do you stay inspired in the whole changing of the digital world and just staying innovative? And what advice would you give to women who are looking to do the same?
That's a really good question. So it can, I'll say from this point, it can be discouraging sometimes to look online and see people constantly producing, and trying to produce at the capacity that they're producing on. And one of the things that I would say, and I even say to my clients, is to, one, I like to say not to think of yourself more higher than you ought to, right? Mm-hmm. Take an assessment of what you have and what you can do. And look at yourself in the mirror and say, and commit to that, because, you know, you don't understand, we may not understand the capacity of what somebody else operates. We might think somebody else is doing too much when that's their boundary. They've hit that and they can do that, where you just need to start off with this and you need to go. And so I stay inspired by understanding what I am graced to do. What are you been given the grace for? And flowing with how I'm being led to produce and flow, and not trying to be in competition with this girl over here or Shelby over here.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what their capacity is. I don't know what they've been graced for. But that goes back to identity. It goes back into having an awareness of yourself, because when you have those things, you have a foundation to start from, and you know, like, okay, if I'm here, then I'm good, right? There are moments though, challenge. There are moments when I don't want to produce, but I also recognize that I'm graced to rest too.
Mm-hmm. And so, come on here.
Okay. And so if I don't have it, I don't want to be on here just trying to show up to show my face because I want to be seen or because I feel like I need to do it according to the algorithm. God is the algorithm. And so if it's a season that I need to rest, then live rest. And
come
I think
on here.
I've grown up in a place in a season where many of us feel like we strive over serving. We strive over feeling like if I don't do this, then I must not be aligned with God. No, God don't want us to strive, you know, not in doing anything for him. That's for sure. But then we have to realize what's your motive?
Yes.
Is your motive for him, or is it to serve and show up for people? And so I had to be okay. There have been times, let me say this, there have been times when I felt bad for not showing up online. Lord, you know, and I had to assess that. Well, why aren't you? Okay. Have you walked away or not? And let's be honest, there were some seasons when I put it down. I said, I'm not doing it because I'm tired. You know what I'm saying? It was supposed to look like this. And I have to get my raggedy tail back up when he say, get up.
Yeah.
Stop playing them games. and I go back right. and show up because he's told me to show mm-hmm. up. Right? And
yes.
so, you know, really it's staying inspired by grace. I think yes. that's the best way to put it.
that's good, you know, and I like what you said about, you know, God is the algorithm. He really is.
He is.
No matter what these things be trying to do, he is the algorithm. Yeah. And again, you know, understanding that whole rest piece, God desires for us to rest. And I tell you, I've had to learn that.
Yeah.
Learn when it is time to rest. In my brain, it would just shut down. It'd be like, nope. Yeah. I'm not coming up with another creative thought. No, right. ma'am. Go sit down somewhere. Right. You need to rest. Your brain need a break.
It's okay. It's so, like, over the weekend, mm-hmm. my sister was in town. We were out. I got off the computer early. 2 days in a row, I was so proud of myself. And mm-hmm. Saturday, we went yes. to breakfast, and I came home, and I rested. And, yeah. and I was supposed to go somewhere else, and I called them nicely, and I said, hey, I'm not going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right.
And I was okay mm-hmm. with that no, because I knew mm-hmm. what my body needed in that moment, and
yeah.
I needed to be still, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. With however anybody feels about that.
right. And again, you know, we have to know when that grace is upon us. I've been doing this. I jumped into podcasting back in Blog Talk Radio, and I'm surprised that my show is still up there 14 years ago. And wow. so I do have those seasons where it's like, okay, I need your voice. I need for you to speak. I need your voice out there. And yes. then I'll go, and then it'd be like, okay, now I need for you to write. And be like, okay, so now I need for you to focus on these blogs, you know. And so that's kind of has been my balance. And so I can honestly say, at least for the past year, since January of 2023, I consistently blog every week, except for I probably can count maybe 5 times. And that was only because I was traveling.
Yeah,
but consistently. And so I did the podcast up until I think maybe like June of last year. And then it was like, no, I need for you to write.
Yeah.
But listen, by the time December came around, he was like, okay, sabbatical over. Let's get back right. to it.
right. And that's really good. Sometimes you got to really find like what he's telling you to do in that season. I'm like somewhere in the middle. I'm like, okay. And I feel like he's like, okay, you did some writing and you're still writing, but I need you to get your voice back out there too. And I'm like, okay,
yes.
you know, and so now getting back started with the Bolder Woman and then, you know, doing mm-hmm. some YouTube videos and stuff like that. I'm just like, and that's a whole nother level for me. I'm like, oh God, you want me to do that?
Right. But it's so good, you know, it should, again, understanding that grace and his voice and following his leading and just giving God what he wants, because he has a way of getting what he wants.
Yeah. Whether you want it or not, okay? Whether you it or not.
Right. We can do this the easy way.
Right.
Or we're going to put a little bit of pressure on it. So,
okay.
So very good. Well, I just have a couple more questions.
Yeah.
With the rise of digital platforms, what are some of the effective ways that you have found even to, you know, to enhance women's presence online, you know, while staying true to their identity? So it kind of goes into what we just talked about.
Yeah. So that's funny because everybody want to do the same thing. And I'm like, look, you might not have that to do that. And so mm-hmm. one of the things I tell like some of my clients, I try to always give them creative ways to create content. And so I'm like, I have one client, she likes to blog. I mean, she loves to mm-hmm. write. I say, and she doesn't like to get on a video. And I'm like, but you don't have to get on a video,
right?
Or if you don't even want to show your face, you can begin to speak into your mic and then do that as a voiceover and then let the words come up on the screen. You don't have to do that.
Yes, come on. Yes.
Podcast style. And so I try to get like anyone that I talk to or anyone that may listen to this, I want like understand how you're wired and how you function mm-hmm. because I just want to be the what allows you to be the most consistent. Because when you start stepping outside of something, I'm not saying that sometimes you can't step outside of your comfort zone, but when you mm-hmm. start trying to step outside of the way that you aren't even, you know, you're not wired to do it that way, then you'll find mm-hmm. a lack of consistency. But when you move and go with how you know that you can flow, then I didn't mean to make that rhyme. But when you do that, you're more likely to stay consistent. And that is what your grace, that's what God has put a grace on for you, for people to connect with. So be okay with that. You know, I feel like sound is one of the most important things. I don't know at what point like God started speaking to me about sound. But I started researching it and recognizing that no sound is the same, right? And like there's an environment shift that begins to happen even when you begin to release something. And so not all sound comes out of your mouth, right? It doesn't. Not all sound comes out of your mouth, right? When you move like this, that's a sound because people can read it. And so it's saying something, right? Wow. When you're writing is a sound, right? Because people can hear your cadence. If you're writing like you should write, you know how you write, and you ain't trying to look at this person, how they writing their blog, and you not letting ChatGPT do it all for you, right? Then people can hear your cadence and your tone in it. And they can hear where the inflections go up and come down. And they hear the voice of the Father begin to move in that moment because you paused or you know, and that is a sound too. And so stay authentic to how you are normally wired to do something. Because if you do short, and even if you do short form, if you like, I can't really do a long form video, we'll do short little reels. When I first started getting on video, I used to teach a whole sermon in a 1 minute reel. And speaking so fast, and they'd be following me. I'm like, well, that's okay. They can keep watching it over and over again. And I would get the whole message out and have the audacity to say, amen, at the end. And but that's how I was able to get it out. And then do these 1 minute prayers, like however you normally do things, stick with that. Don't try to do something that's outside of your comfort level, at least in the beginning, because I think that you'll find yourself being more consistent and you'll be excited to do it. We want you to be excited trying to be. You don't want to be, I feel like if you start doing something that doesn't bring you joy, doesn't bring you peace, then you're not doing it for God and it doesn't give him glory.
Come on.
You know? And so whatever you're doing, make sure there's an excitement and a joy to it when you're doing it.
That is so good. That is so very good. You know, I used to not like the sound of my voice. And I've been speaking, singing since I was a little girl. And so it's just amazing how God gets out of us what he put inside of us. And we want to take advantage of, like you said, finding what it is that, you know, finding you and then go do that. Find you and then go do that.
If you rap, come on, rap it. Like, I mean, it's okay. If you're a poet, then do it as a poetry. You got Harry Hill. You got, you know, do that. Like, I used to sing. I thought I would be a singer. I thought I would be somewhere in California by now singing and writing. I used to be able to write a song in like 5 minutes, right? And that's not, I can't really sing anymore. I'm be honest. My voice, I still I carry home a melody, but my voice has changed so much. But that doesn't stop me from putting a prayer over a track. What I'm saying? That doesn't stop me from writing a prayer. That doesn't stop me from writing encouraging, you know, prophetic, melodic type of thing and putting it over some music. Like I can still do that and still have the same, you know, excitement out of it and not be singing, you know? So, you just gotta stay true to you.
I love that. I love that. Love that. So what our last question, what's next for Olivia? You have any upcoming projects, any things that you're doing? I know you talked about, you know, a Boulder Woman. Just tell us what you got coming out.
One thing that I'm doing, I wrote the Imposter Syndrome book. There are four more books that's coming out in that series. The first one, next one being about a comparison, overcoming comparison. I'm getting ready to launch a boot camp to help women birth it. It's called the Birth It Boot Camp. I'm giving you 8 weeks to birth, you know, what God has given you. Like these are women who are like high drive. They just don't know where to start. They need some accountability and they need the creative confidence to do it. So I'm doing that and I'm wrapping up the ends of a book. It hasn't come out the way I wanted it to, but that's because it was still so much that I was processing in the process of writing this book, which is called than what's in your hand. And it's literally about taking that small thing and assessing what you have and then, you know, just giving it over. And sometimes you don't have nothing in your hand, and that's what God wants, right? I'm finishing up the last pieces of that book. I feel like I've been saying that forever, but every time I think that I'm done or I can keep writing, I have to either pause and wait, or, you know, and so sometimes it doesn't come out, but that's another project that I'm working on. And then I'm just being more, I have these events that I'm doing every month called Come, where I am bringing together women. We're just going to a restaurant. We're choosing a restaurant. We're coming together. I have these question cards at every place setting, and we are cultivating conversation while also having more life. And being pursuant on seeking God. Because during the pandemic, I recognized that, after the pandemic, I recognized that I was dealing with social anxiety because I had to move so much. And God started, like, a lot of my life, he speaks to me, but it's for other people. He says, okay, well, if you're going through it, then how many other people are? And I was like, okay. And so I was going to do it last year, but he was like, just minimize it, be simplistic about it. And so I started, the whole come theme was really based off of the banquet, where the king was saying, come, you know, come eat. I'm giving you an invitation. And so the table is ready. And so that's what that whole idea came around. And so I'm inviting these women. My desire is to get women who I don't know to come. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's going to be some people who know me, but getting them to come to the table. We speak prophetically. Yeah. We answer these questions. There are new people that are coming over, new converts, people that don't believe they're coming. And just in doing that every single month and giving these ladies a place to actually use their voice. And just get that edge of empowerment that they need to, you know, move out in a week. So, yeah, that's what we're doing.
I love that. I love that. I might have to take a trip up to Cleveland.
We might come to Columbus.
Well, let's come on and let's make it happen then. I'm all about that. Listen, I would love to collaborate and do something. You know, there's so many sisters that are really moving out, and the collaboration and partnership is so very important part of the process. It really keeps us encouraged and just that support that we need, and say, hey, sis, I got your back.
It keeps us linked. I just had a dream about a collaboration last weekend with all these different ladies that had different ideas, but they came together to fuse it together as one idea. We're sitting at the table, and God was just speaking about how collaboration helps keep us connected. You know, it keeps us linked arm, where there's so many different denominations. There's so many, when we begin to connect, you know, it keeps us, you know, unified in the body. And so absolutely, I love collaborating.
Awesome. Well, I've got something that I'm working on. So I may be talking to you offline, something I'm working on for the fall. I believe that God is just strategically having, he's given me just, you know, insight and just women. So I believe that you are one of the ones. And so we'll talk offline about that, but I would love to have you. Well, is there anything else in closing that you would want to share? You know, I do have your website scrolling at the bottom there, but anything else, some closing thoughts?
Honestly, I would just say that to anyone watching who may be dealing with imposter syndrome, or just trust what God has said to you, you know, trust what he said. And if you are dealing with a season of your life that is challenging, just recognize that your season is not predicated on who you are. And so, you know, as you continue to go forth, you'll begin to see God begin to expose and illuminate, you know, what you weren't able to see. And if you're struggling with imposter syndrome and that mechanism, please go to my website and get the ebook, and it's also on Amazon.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much. And our website is emergewithliv.com. Scrolling there at the bottom, make sure that you go and you check her out. Grab the ebook, especially if you are dealing with imposter syndrome. Thank you so much for being here with me. It was an honor to have you as our special guest for today.
It was an honor to be had. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. And I'll catch you in the backstage in 1 second. We close us out. Well, was that not an exciting conversation that we had with Olivia on today? Again, I am all about bringing sisters together and just us having these conversations and dialogue specifically around holistic lifestyle and holistic living, mind, body, soul, and spirit. That is what we are all about here at the Holistic Life Podcast. And so I want to thank you for tuning in again to this week's episode. We look forward to catching you on the airwaves, and we have a couple more episodes that we are going to be wrapping up on our special Women's History Month, but we wanted to be sure to get this one in on today. And so make sure that you are following us on our new website at holisticlifepodcast.com, holisticlifepodcast.com. You will be able to catch all of our resources and things that are there that we are going to be sharing week after week. Well, I am your host, Shelby Frederick. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will catch you on the airwaves on next week. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Holistic Life Podcast, where our foundation is the Word of God and our path is wellness in His light. We hope today's episode enriches your journey to a life of health and spiritual fulfillment. Remember, each step toward holistic living is a step closer to embodying His teachings. For continued inspiration, follow our journey. Until next time, embrace your faith. Nurture your entire being and watch your life bloom in His glory. We'll catch you on the airways. Be blessed.